If you will, look and find the scripture, Luke 2:49, a time where Jesus as a little boy is found back in the temple, and he's just really baffling people with his wisdom. It says, why were you searching for me? The Lord asked them. Did you not know that I had been in my Father's house and about his Father's business? Let's pray together. Would you bow with me for a moment? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from you. And then move your prayer to being grateful and thankful. And let the Holy Spirit show you what you need to be grateful and thankful for in this moment. This is a time where we give him praise and thanks. It's also a time when we pray for other people who overlap into your life. Some are dealing with physical illnesses, surgeries, post-surgery, cancer treatments. We have several people in our church going through cancer treatments. Those who are dealing with spiritual direction, they need godly, truth-telling friends. They need help with the emotional weight and woundedness that they carry. They need help in getting out of financial holes and pits. There's people who have a lot of suffering and grief. So as you pray for these people, they may match one or more of those categories, but take their name and their situation to our Heavenly Father. As we pray for others, we move to praying for nations. Continue to pray for them. There's new outbreaks of tension. Israel, Gaza, Israel, Iran, Ukraine, and Russia. Even situations in our own nation. You're going, man, it seems like the more I pray, the more turmoil and chaos there is. We're called to pray. Our obedience is to pray in desperation to the Father. And we ask for peace. We continually pray for peace. Pray that the nations, and there are great movements of God. We're hearing about war, but there are great movements of God going on throughout the world. And may that continue. And then we pray that it happen here, even in our own homeland, that our hearts would turn back to him once again. Would you pray for those who are around you? Pray a blessing over them today that are literally in the seats near you, even if you don't know them. And pray for your family, wherever they may be, and they may be posted in those seats near you. But pray a blessing over them today. We ask that you pray a blessing over the offering that's been given electronically or taking up in this service. But there's a greater blessing today than our offerings, our financial, and it's you. We continue to pray even in this service. Lord, here, use me, send me. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in any of these services. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Happy Father's Day, dads out there. Little by little through the sermon, I'll be giving you a challenge as well. But happy Father's Day. When we're dealing with this verse, if you read the whole story, they're traveling. And they travel away, and they realize that Jesus is not with them. And you're going, well, how in the world can that happen? In that day, it was common for men to travel in a caravan or a group of men, and for women to travel in a caravan or a group of women, and then they would eventually reach a destination. And it was very easy for Joseph to think that Jesus is in Mary's caravan, or very easy for Mary to think, well, Jesus is in Joseph's caravan. And then they get to their destination point and realize he's not there. In my assumption, I would say the women's group was ahead of the men's group. I just know when I even attempt to walk with my wife, Julie, I can't go as far as she does or the pace that she does. And so she gets way ahead of me and just marches in place like she's a soldier. And then I catch up, we say a few words, and she leaves me all over again, you know. And we just repeat over and over when it comes to that. So whatever how it happened, the groups came together. They found out that Jesus is not there. Excuse me, when they do find him, they go back and they find him in the Father's house, and they find him about, he's really saying, I am about my Father's business. And we're going to look at what the Father's business is today. But the scripture in the story says that the Lord was growing up and maturing and just maturing in his wisdom, that he was baffling the scribes and the people of the law. I want to say this as we're going to look at our Heavenly Father for a moment today, and we're going to look at what his mission and the desires of his life are for even us. But I want to remind you that not everybody has the same home situation. We know that. And one thing I love about the Lord, even, I had a great earthly father, but I know for those that didn't, he gave the promise that he would be a father to the fatherless. And not only does he have that position in people's lives, but I know that the Lord, my Heavenly Father, has directed other people into my life. I had a great father-in-law, I had a great earthly father, but God has given me all these dads, these spiritual dads in my life that have spoken into my life. I know that just recently when our son Andrew married Maria, Maria had two daughters, Charlotte and Gwen, who are now our granddaughters, that I had never heard the term bonus dad until Marie started using that about Andrew, that Charlotte and Gwen have a bonus dad. Instead of referring to him as a stepfather, that he is a bonus dad. And I know that our Heavenly Father, in all of his wisdom, I know that he's poured other people into your life too, you know, that may not have been officially stepfathers, but they became bonus dads to a lot of us. And I hope if you didn't give thanks for that already, that today you do, for all that he's put into your life. We ask the question sometimes in pastoring, can I use an earthly dad illustration or example to always match that of my Heavenly Father? And the answer to that, if you want a true answer, the answer is no. You can do some of it. But our Heavenly Father goes way beyond the capabilities of earthly fathers. Luke 15, you know, the prodigal son, there's a picture of the father who's running to meet his son and doesn't take him as a servant and takes him as a son. Yeah, it matches there. And there are times you can do that. But our Heavenly Father has far more authority and is far more sovereign than anything beyond an earthly dad can be. So yeah, you can a little bit use it. If you're asking, can it be straight across the board? And the answer is no. But can we use some earthly father-child relationship to describe our Heavenly Father? We can a little of it. But today I want you to see how beyond he goes, or how much our Heavenly Father just goes beyond anything we as earthly dads can do and what we have in him. Look at Deuteronomy 32:6. It says, is this how you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't he your father and creator? Didn't he make you and sustain you? Is it not he who made you? We sometimes forget that we can try to build our own lives, and that becomes part of our sin, that where you're foolish and you're senseless. We're that group of people. But he makes us. And not only does he make us, he sustains us. I can explain it better in Isaiah 64:8. We have a heavenly Father who is the potter, and we are the submissive clay. Yet, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we all are the works of your hands. He's constantly, as our heavenly Father being the potter and us being the clay, he's constantly creating and shaping us, reshaping us. He's fashioning us. He's refashioning us. He restores us. I know there are some things that God has called me to, and one day I won't be your preacher at Hope Church. There'll be another preacher and pastor here. But it doesn't mean I will be leaving ministry. Who knows what I'll be doing? But I know that whatever it is, he's gifted it for me, and he's invested that in me, and I will do my best to put it to practice. That's what I mean by shaping and reshaping and fashioning and refashioning. He's constantly restoring us. The very middle of the 23rd Psalm basically is, and he restores my soul. He's doing that over and over again. As the potter shapes the clay, so he shapes your life. Let's not be a senseless and a foolish generation of people and think, well, we make our own lives. Our heavenly Father shapes us and fashions us, and we need to allow him to be able to do that. Romans 8:15-17 says that our heavenly Father is an adopting Father. He's an adopting Father. We used this last Sunday, going to reuse it again today. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, we're also heirs. This part just blesses me to read this. Listen, it's not going to be Jesus and then us underneath that. It's going to be everything Jesus gets, we get. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God, look, co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This part of the gospel story becomes very personal to me. And there are other parts of the gospel story that may come off the page at you, but this one is mine, really. Look at Romans 5:10. Here's the beauty of our heavenly Father. while we are his enemies, he adopts us into becoming his sons and his daughters. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by the life and the work of Jesus? It's about relationship. I know there can be a lot of talk about fellowship. If we're not careful, we'll put fellowship above relationship. And really, the most important is our relationship with the Lord. I will think that I have done well as a pastor if I can get you in your everyday life to run to the Father before you go anywhere else. I will think I've been successful. If I can get you with whatever everyday problems there are, whatever it is, that the first place you run is you run to your heavenly Father. That's where he is in relationship to you. And we get there through the person of Jesus. He says, no one gets to the Father except through me, he says. Excuse me. And so we have that relationship. Fellowship's important, but relationship is far more important. Don't trade out fellowship for relationship. The place that you go is to be with the Father. I as we prep you for Lent, and we usually use Matthew 5 for that. And We're prepping you for Lent, and we do the three things in Lent, which is generosity and prayers and fasting. And if you remember, in all three teachings, it says that the Father who sees you in secret being generous, the Father who sees you in secret praying, and the Father who sees you in secret fasting will reward you. He will reward you. That is there. Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He's not only is he a father of adoption to us. We were his enemies and we become his sons and his daughters, but he rewards us. So the picture, you have the Father adopting us, we have the Son who's sharing his life for us, and then you have the Spirit who is witnessing that the Son is doing all that he can do to connect us to the Father. It becomes a beautiful thing. I want to remind you of something here, though. And I want to say it as simply as I can. He gave up his child so that you could become his child. That's how much he wants you to be a son and a daughter. He was willing to give up his only child so that you and I could become his children. And so we have a heavenly Father that not only fashions us and creates us, shapes us and reshapes us, restores us. We have one that takes his enemies and then he adopts them as his sons and his daughters. I'm blown away by that part of the gospel. We have a heavenly Father who is giving. Look at James 1:17. It says, for every generous act, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. That last part, that shadow and variation, means that God hasn't changed. He's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That every generous act and every perfect gift is from him. Every time I do a funeral, I always say this just as a reminder, because you don't know who you have as an audience all the time at a funeral. But I always say this, that God is the God of all comfort. Not some comfort, all comfort. Like any time you've gone through a grieving situation, suffering situation, every phone call, every text, every card, every casserole, everything, man, the Lord has sent them there. The Lord sends them there. The enemy's not going to bring you comfort. Man, when he sees you in strife, he's just going to tighten the screws. You know what I'm saying? He's just going to dig a little deeper in that. He's not going to bring you comfort. God is the God of all comfort. Anything that's ever happened to you, every generous act, every perfect gift that has come your way has come from the Father. And he's not only generous, he is the God of all comfort that happens in our lives. I never pray for a family. I never go, hey God, I want to remind you to comfort this family. I don't have to do that because he's going to do that whether I pray that or not, because he's the God of all comfort. I'm not the one who instigates his comforting. Blessed are those who mourn. Do you know the rest of it? For they shall be comforted. So I'm not the one who engages God into bringing comfort to you. That's what he does as a heavenly Father. So my prayer doesn't instigate that. Like, oh, there's Jeff's prayer. Oh, I forgot to comfort this family. Thanks, Jeff, for reminding me to be comforting this family. That stuff, that doesn't happen. As he is the God of all comfort. I don't remind him to do that. That's what he does as a heavenly Father. And James does a few other things that are here. He said that every perfect gift is from above. He's got above being good, below being bad. Every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Father of lights would be the canopy of creation, the stars, and most of us live around artificial light. So we don't see the stars in their fullness. You've got to go backpacking or camping or get out into country to be able to see the handiwork. And it's a reminder, his handiwork is a reminder that what I have done here that I can do with you It's a reminder of his creation power, his shaping and reshaping power, as we handled with the potter and the clay verse in Isaiah 64:8. So it's a great reference for us. The point is that James says God was good then, and God is still, he is still good now. He is a good God, and he is a giving God. Look at John 3:16. I know you know the verse, but I want you to look at it. For God so loved the world in this way, he gave. He gave. When you and I are generous with people, that's when you most resemble your heavenly Father. I mean, because our world says, keep it, take it, keep it, take it, hoard it, you know? That's what our world would just condition you to be that way. And the kingdom, it's give it away, give it away, give it away. So he said, for God so loved the world in this way, he gave. And what did he give? He gave his only son. And remember what we talked about in the spirit of adoption? He took the life of his child, so that you could be and we could be his children. And not only that, we wouldn't perish, but we have everlasting life. Our Heavenly Father is a Father that has authority. Remember I told you when we started, that's what will differ him from earthly fathership, is that he has all authority and he is sovereign in everything that he does. I want you to look at Acts 1, 6, and 7. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's been on the earth for 40 days. He's getting ready to ascend. In Acts 1, so when they had come together, the disciples, that's who they are, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them in verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. The picture here in verse 7 is that the Lord's coming back again, but he said that only he has the authority of that. Only he has the authority to be able to do that. He has his own timeline. He has his own timeline, and it's his, and it belongs to him. I just want to show you another place of authority is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking again about our Heavenly Father. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth, and that new birth really is a spirit of adoption that we've been talking about, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now look at verse 4. And into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading. And here's the part I want you to see. Kept in heaven for you. Kept in heaven. Well, how is it kept? How's it done? Look at verse 5. You're being protected by God's power. That he has the authority and the power, not only of a timeline of when the Lord's coming back, and even the events that you and I are praying about in our pastoral prayer earlier throughout our world. You're being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. It is a picture of he has the authority to keep and to guard and protect, and he has the authority on even the end of time. Our Heavenly Father has that incredible piece of authority. And then lastly, I want you to see that our Father is always at work. Look at John 5:17. But Jesus responded to them, my Father is still working and I am working also. We have a Heavenly Father that is working on your behalf while you sit here today. He's ahead of you. He's way ahead of you. And when he calls you to where he is. You and I really don't call him back to where we are. You'll read the passage, we draw near to him. We draw near to him. We seek him. And he is ahead of us. And he's calling us to where he is. Jesus said, this is about what he said in Luke 2:49 in the temple. I'm about my Father's house. I'm about my Father's business. And Jesus often said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father being able to say. Our Father is working continually. He's redeeming, adopting, he's giving, he's shaping, he's reshaping, he's restoring, he fashions, he refashions, he keeps, he guards, he protects. He is at work. He's at work all the time. And he's at work in us all the time. Oh man, he'll give you constant reminders through the Holy Spirit. It could be something over the radio or a bumper sticker on somebody's car or something you see that's a thread or a meme or whatever and being posted on social media. He'll use all kinds of things to give you reminders over and over and over again. You know, with all the cicadas that are out there today, don't you just love them? Those little flying aliens. And I just one day in the backyard, the Lord's like, they have a role. He didn't tell me what it was, but they have a role. And you know, you and I, it's like, and so do you. You know, just like I called you here for a reason. I know some of it. I don't know completely all of it, but we all have a role in the kingdom. All of us do. And so those little flying aliens, I felt the Holy Spirit use that they do what they do, and then they repeat it, and then maybe 17 years or whatever. But then we do too. He shapes us and reshapes us for reasons. He's working constantly. We all have a role to play in the kingdom, and it's a role of obedience, and we do that. Let me give you some help here. So this is to all of us, but then I'm going to move it to dads here in just a moment. I love the book of Daniel. Some people want to read Daniel just because it has some end time references there and what's going to happen. Some of them like to read Daniel because it explains or tries to give a picture of territorial demons and what they can do, which I believe that's true. But I like to read the simplicity of Daniel. And when I read the simplicity of Daniel, it says in there several times that the Lord gave him a spirit of excellence. Gave him a spirit of excellence. And his work ethic was through the roof. It's incredible. He was very obedient and very humble about it. And it just led him to greater levels of influence in his life to the point where he gave advice to the king. That when Daniel spoke, the king listened. And not only that, the king even asked for his advice and his answers and his wisdom. And so I look at all of us today and I go, man, we could use that. I'm not just talking, I believe in education, I believe in higher education. I really do believe in that. And I try to move people there as much as I can. But it's more than just intelligence. It is more than any of that. It is that we do what we do with a spirit of excellence. You know, I've had people who were with us in our first vacation Bible school this week, and they go, man, it runs so smoothly. I've never seen a Bible school run so smoothly. How does it run smooth? Well, number one, we pray a lot. I said, number two, I said, people know their lanes. I said, they know what they do. They know it. And I said, they do it with a spirit of excellence. It's what they do. And I said, then it makes everything work together. It doesn't just become my lane, but me keeping my lane makes everything, all the other lanes, work smoothly. The picture is, it's a spirit of excellence. And so I give that to you, but I want to give it to dads today. Listen, it doesn't say that Daniel got this from a seminar that he went to and learned how to handle his leadership. It was a spirit of excellence that was given to him. They saw that in him. And those of you who are dads out there today, ask for this. Ask for that. Let's lead our families well. And one of the ways that we lead our families well is to lead them in God first. God first. Teach our families to be dependent on our Heavenly Father. All that. how he does and answers prayer. One of the peoples who mentored me, the family, is a family named Ed and Sharon Smith. And I say me, I mean Julie. And Ed and Sharon used to scare me. Julie and I have known them since we were 14, 15 years old. And they're preacher's kids. And about the only way I can explain them is they just acted like two hippies, you know? And when we were in high school, they were in college, and they led a lot of our youth stuff in the area, the Campbellsville area. And they're musical. Ed can play everything, just makes you sick. You know, he can play anything, pick it up and play it, you know? And Sharon has a beautiful voice. And so they would lead our weekends, and that's how we really got to know them. I remember they were redoing a house. And they didn't have the money for a water heater. They just didn't have the money for they needed a new water heater. And I don't know if you've had a water heater put in lately, but they're expensive, okay? They didn't have one. And so Sharon said, we just started praying for a water heater. And I was just like, well, that's dumb. You know, I mean, E.J. Milby Building Supplies right down the road, you know, there's all kinds, you can go get a water heater. I just never heard that in my life. And she and Ed asked for a water heater. And she said a few days later, there was a knock on their front door. And there was this lady there. And she goes, are you all Ed and Sharon Smith? Yeah, they'd never met. And she goes, we're building a house. And she said, they sent us two water heaters. And we only needed one. And they just said, well, just keep the other one. And she said, we were in church and said, your name was given to us. And she goes, we're supposed to give you all a water heater. And I just remember going, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. But it also showed me, you know, go to the Father, ask. Yes, we've had great earthly fathers, and some of you never knew your earthly father. But you've got a great heavenly Father, and he shapes and reshapes and fashions and refashions. He took the life of his only child so that you and I could be his children. He adopts us. He's a generous dad, heavenly Father. He is giving to us. He has all authority. All authority. He's sovereign. He knows when people have more water heaters than they need. And I just remember I was blown away by that. Sometimes in our culture, we just like, well, that's foolish. And that's way too much dependence on the Lord. Listen, the Holy Spirit may be nudging you to ask the Lord for the Father for things. Man, I just want to encourage you to do that. He's a wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father. Now, don't go out of here and go, well, I don't need a hot water heater, but I'm going to test the Lord. Don't do that. But what do you need in your life? What's he beckoning you to come to him with? Remember, our Father is working. He's redeeming. He's adopting. He's giving. He's shaping, reshaping, fashioning, refashioning. He keeps. He guards. He protects. He is all that. He gives us a spirit of excellence. And lead your families well, Dad, by leading them God first. Teach them as parents, where do I go? Well, the first place I go is to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the people here today. Thank you that there's far more to describe you in your word than we handled today. But Lord, we get a picture of a loving, caring Heavenly Father, and we thank you for loving us so much that you took the life of your only child so that we could be your children. And you did that even when we were your enemies. You made us your sons and your daughters. We thank you that you fashion us and shape us after your will. We thank you that you're a giving, generous Heavenly Father, that you reward your children for seeking you. We thank you that you're a Heavenly Father who has all authority. And you're a Heavenly Father who is always at work. And Lord, our prayer today in all this, give us a spirit of excellence to lead our families, our workplaces, and our churches and your kingdom well. Give us your spirit of excellence today is our prayer. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Will you do that? Will you, counselors, will you come find your place? Tucker and the team is going to lead us, and the response is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. There are people to pray with you, for you, over you. You can come and be a part of that today. Seek it. You can come and even in this invitation and said, Lord, fill me with a spirit of excellence in my life. You can ask that of the Father. Whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come.